Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're going to have a show that I'm very excited about. This show is about solutions. We're living in times that is uncertain, and I think people are putting their heads down and just trying to get from one point A to point B, and it's causing a lot of anxiety. And I've learned in my process and in my journey that if you let emotions run the show, you end up being buffeted, and it doesn't give you center, doesn't give you balance. And I think over time, it makes people sick. And we need to start thinking in a different way of how we reach health. I think it's bigger than just going to the doctor and just taking a medication. I think it's about healing spirit, mind, body, spirit, and the soul. And we're coming to a rapid point where choices have to be made, whether we like it or not. I don't think you can just let it happen, because by definition, that actually is a choice. And I'm all about taking your power back. And today we're going to talk with somebody who I think is like-minded and who's gone through a journey and is in a position where she's able to disseminate what she's learned. And we're in a great position where we can learn from other folks. And today we're going to speak with Miss Vicki Werner. She's a mother. She's an author. She's an emotional and energetic healing practitioner, an intuitive mentor, and a past life regression therapist. Now, she has a very interesting story. She had a near-death experience, and coming through that, she's learned to delve deep into the cause of disease, studying emotional healing techniques, including emotional freedom technique called tapping, essential oil therapy, meditation to release negative emotions and support healing of the physical body. She combines ancient wisdom and modern science in teaching on a broad spectrum of topics. Her book, The Secret to Healing and Recovery, has received great praise and is beneficial for anyone that is looking to heal and to go on a journey for themselves or if they're a caregiver. We're going to speak about that, and we're going to, I think, learn techniques and actually become more facile in how we can tap into our own power. And Ms. Werner, I'm looking forward to our conversation. It's timely, and I think it's very important that people are able to look inward in order to find their power and not get it from external sources. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here with you.
Now, let's start off at the beginning. Most people who, like physicians like myself, we come to this outside the box thinking, because it's usually personal. It was family members for me who were ill, and it started me down the path of thinking bigger than what I was told and all the what you can't do and what the diagnosis is. And I've now reached a point that I know it's bigger than me. And how did you find your center?
Well, you know that I'm married to a beautiful healer and a man that was very gifted in healing and medicine. And due to a number of circumstances, he's left all of traditional medicine. And it fascinated me to watch his experience leaving what we consider traditional medicine. But the real traditional medicine is the traditions of our ancestors and the traditions of historically of true healers. And I happen to be one of those that started the journey of a healer by being on the other side of the fence of somebody who was desperate for somebody to heal me. Mm-hmm. And my husband literally took me around the world looking for healers. We looked in every area that we could find because I was so desperate to heal. And there's so many people that are on that journey right now, that are, their bodies are broken down. They're at a really fragile emotional and physical state. And in that state of desperation, we become more separate from what is true. And I became what we would say from an archetype from an archetype perspective is somebody who is the wounded healer, the healer who has walked their own path. And I think anybody who has had any kind of dysregulation to the point of a diagnosis or a disease that we would call, you can't have that level of crisis on a physical level without a spiritual crisis on its heels.
I would agree with that. And you're talking about not just physical disease, but mental as well. You know, this uncertainty of whether you're going to have a house or a job or loved ones who still, you know, welcome you into the family. These are major life changes that take people out of their comfort zone and have them to need for them to go out on faith. And you're talking about both sides of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we are all being confronted with a sense of community and what that is for us. What we used to call community was our physical within a few mile reach or, you know, maybe a 10 mile reach of what you would consider your community or, you know, somebody who had a shared interest locally. But now our community is global. And we, as challenging as that is for some people, is some of the best community that we have is through social media or people that we would say is in our tribe or people that are like-minded or what we would say awake to truth. And that is this is a time that we need to really clarify what our community is. And when we don't have community, when we don't have a connection, we all know that the mental and emotional strain on our constitution is immense. And we see this in high levels of addiction. We see this in suicide attempts and medication and numbing that humanity is doing right now, just trying to be in a survival state. But to build our community is paramount right now. And I think that's one of the greatest things that this world is causing awareness of is what is your community and where is your tribe and building upon that.
You know, I like the way you put that. And I want to take a separate take on it. It's almost as if from outside in, we're being told what our tribe should be, what our community should be. And if you are unsure of who you are and your center, you end up, I think, being put into a box that may not be that resonate with actually who you are. It's not who you look like, who you love, you know, your religion. It's not these parameters that seem to be superimposed on us, because it seems like if you are a certain way, you need to think a certain way. You need to act a certain way. It's very, and it's not authentic. How do people take that step away from, because the community it's a double-edged sword. You want to be liked, you want to belong. Is it to the extent that you have to negate yourself? And to me, that's a cognitive and it's spiritual dissonance that can't last.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, as members of this human experience, there isn't one of us who doesn't want to be loved and accepted. We all want to be seen for who we are. We all want to belong. And any of us who have had an experience in a public school knows that, you know, as adults, every one of us can look back at the times where we were wrongly accused or wrongly judged or wrongly put in a group that wasn't ours or labeled as something that we really weren't. And the traumas of those kind of experiences stay with us for a lifetime. And many of my clients, I'll always say, you know, how is this specific thing related to your primary years in education? But as far as building this community and who we really are, what we're looking at is ultimately what we deem as our level of self-value. And it's so vital right now to remember that our value existed way before we were physically on this present, when we are physically in this life. You know, our parents were eagerly awaiting us. And before they even saw who we were wanted and loved. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so valuable that we set that as a baseline, that our value exists way, way beyond what we're capable of physically doing, way beyond our actions, way beyond our deeds and our work ethic and our beauty and our, you know, how we contribute. Our value exists because we have breath and we are, and that breath belongs to God. And beyond that, then, you know, when we recognize that value, when we recognize who we truly are, then we can stand up for our truth of who we belong with and who our tribes are.
That was beautifully said. And let's everybody think about that while we take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Vicki Werner. She's an author and a practitioner that I think specializes in having people discover their soul and who they actually are. And, you know, before the break, you laid out a really, was eloquently said about knowing who you are versus who other people think you are. And if people are wounded, and this is, you know, people don't really think about it. It's little slights that happen, like you said, when you're young. If they're not dealt with, they fester, don't they? And do you actually, that ability to heal, how do you get people to peel back the layers of that? Because it's, people are protective, aren't they? They don't want to revisit something that was painful. And I would assume that they resist a lot of times. I know we definitely see the people lashing out inappropriately or their behavior, but how do you get people to release that?
Right. Well, you know, if we don't release it, I always encourage to always consciously make decisions, schedule in time for emotional release, because if we don't schedule it in, it will build up. And even if we're not thinking that we're not releasing, we're always really, our body is not a holding station. So we're always releasing emotions, you know, completely unconscious of that. You know, we may be somebody who doesn't treat the checkout lady at the counter as kind as we could be, or we may say a slight comment to a loved one in our home and a little jab at our partner. These type of things are emotional releases. We're just not really recognizing it. And nobody, when you're talking about pain, nobody on a conscious level is going to say, you know, before we come into this earth, is sign me up for the hardest, most miserable life possible because I want to really challenge myself. We never would say that we would consciously do that, but we really do on a soul level sign up for these type of challenges because it has so much possibility for growth. And the thing that we need to remember is 95% of our beliefs and our patterns and our behaviors, even our emotional state, is rooted in our subconscious patterns, subconscious patterns and beliefs that we don't even know exist. And we're in the unconscious level of primarily throughout the day. And most people significantly throughout the day, they just are more in a habit of going day to day. But we need to remember that these exist and they control a huge percentage of why we sabotage opportunities, why we feel unworthy of relationships, why we can't get the financial support that we think that we on a conscious level deserve. And all of this is rooted in our subconscious patterns that we need to unroot. And it really comes down to facing the lion and standing up and really taking a hard look. But people aren't going to naturally do that until there is some level of resistance. And we can look at this last year and a half as a real huge struggle. And we could look at it, you know, historically, we will always remember 2020 and 2021. We'll always remember this is a really challenging time. But we can also remember that we're stronger than we thought we were. And we have built up more resilience than we ever thought we could. We really chose our side. It's really phenomenal to see how people have chosen their teams. They more than ever before, whether that's medically or politically or through our education system or even in our relationships. It's so interesting. People, I think we can all relate to knowing people who have literally unfriended somebody who had a different viewpoint. And never in history has that happened before. I mean, obviously, social media is a new language that we didn't have 20 years ago, but we have eliminated people who are not part of our people. But it's imperative at this point, more than any other time in history, to really take ownership of your emotional and physical well-being. And that means to take a real hard look in the mirror and seeing how you're showing up in the world, and then what changes you can make to implement so that you can become a better version of yourself.
So you're saying personal responsibility is an underpinning of this, and someone didn't do it to you. It's not because of what you look like. It's not because society superimposed. We do have choices. We have free will. We choose how we choose to use that, I think, is either puts us in alignment with our inner self or doesn't. Is that some way that people can look at it?
Right. I personally believe that each one, what is the one law that God gifted us when we came to this planet? And that's free agency. Mm-hmm. And so what is the one law that is trying to be removed from us is free agency. And we don't really recognize the gifts that we have and the freedom that we have or the ability to make choice until it's threatened. And right now is that opportunity, is that we have to stand for the right to make choice that is individual to ourselves, even beyond our loved ones, that to have free agency and to stand up and show up in the way that we are here to show up. Now, there's many levels to this. Sometimes if we have an emotional disruption and we get caught up in fear and restriction and anxiety of the unknown, it's time to pull back. It's time to recalibrate and rebalance, because you're not contributing in a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. You need to, that's when we enter into nature and do some journaling or tapping or some meditation, because we are dysregulated. And if we're physically and emotionally dysregulated, we're mentally dysregulated too. And in that dysregulation, we're never going to make the right choice, because it's always going to be based in fear. It's always going to be in a restricted state, and our possibilities become very limited, and our activities become very hindered. But when you can become very clear of how you should contribute to the world and how you can keep it feeling safe for those around you and build hope and build momentum in the bigger vision, and then you should have the opportunity to stand up in strength and own your contribution as a member of humanity, that you're here purposely, that every single one of us chose this time in history to be here. Every one of us signed up for this. And are we going to sign up in fear and limitation and have somebody else dictate what our bodies are here to do and how we are supposed to contribute? Or are we going to decide for a better future? And I'm going to choose decide for a better future.
Well, there's power in the positivity of that, the potential of that, as opposed to the lack and if you want to look at it in terms of energy too, right? Isn't that another way to see that in a different manner? Fear is a negative, very low energy state. Potential and positivity and feeling good about you and your what you can offer is a high energy state. And isn't it about vibration and energy and cellular growth, or expanding that positivity out? Isn't that more of a healing modality or a way to think about it? You just don't get touched the same way when you have that power behind you. It just kind of bounces off.
Right. Well, we are energetic beings, and our energy, when it's in our full capacity, we emit an energetic field up to 22 feet beyond our physical form. And if we think about fear, fear and shame, guilt, all of those lower they're a denser vibration, they're a lower vibration, mm-hmm. and they're more of a constricted vibration. And we all know what it feels like when we've had maybe a panic attack, or when we've had something, as a diagnosis, or when we see something on the news, that it causes this constricted state. And not only do our bodies go into a resistance, and it constricts our muscles, it tightens our abdominal area, we become more susceptible to food allergies and you know, nauseous and headache, and our body, our breathing becomes very labored and tight. And we almost go into what we would say maybe the fetal position, mm-hmm. maybe not completely in that moment, but we are constricting because we're trying to protect and we feel unsafe. But when we have love in our heart and we have a coherent state of energy in our heart and in our brain, that coherent energy emanates way beyond our physical form, and other people can, we build upon the energy in the room. We build upon the energy and the frequency of the world. And whether we love, want to think about this or not, every one of us contributed to some level in some area to the world that we have today. And, you know, we have some level of accountability. I don't want to say from a space of guilt or, wow, that's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. But if we say, okay, we all contributed to where we are today, where can we contribute to where what we really want to create? And that comes from having an expanded state of being, a coherent mind and heart, a level of hope and love and compassion for humanity. And that's when we expand ourselves. So our energy lifts us out of where we are. It rises us up to a higher state of being, and it lifts us up to more possibilities that we wouldn't have seen under that other state where we're more of a constricted, lower dense state.
Can you also think about it in terms of taking active participation versus having something act on you, like having mm-hmm. the powers that be or social pressure tell you, this is the box you're in and you need to stay there. And anything, if you poke your head up, it's going to be lopped off. That's the fear of constricting yourself. You're actually allowing other things to have power over you, dominion over you, when what you just described is ultimate power of you to be what God put you on this earth to be, to glory in that and to express that. I mean, that's how I see it. And that's the most freeing place to be. There's just this bounce in your step. You're happy. Nothing really bothers you. You kind of let it slide off. And I know we're going to take a break in a second, but am I on the right track? Because that's how I feel. That's how I see things. And it just means I have a freedom that I don't think I ever really felt before I actively started to take my power back and exert it.
Right. I think we all are in this moment where we get to feel what it was like to be in the shoes of Joan of Arc, mm-hmm. where we had adversity breathing down our necks. But we have to remember, you know, as a past life regression therapist, I've seen clients experience every kind of, you know, beheadings and hangings and burned at the stake and poisoning and imprisonment. Horror has happened historically. And, this time in history will be looked at as horror as well. But the great possibilities that we can build upon, that we can release and show up in a different way. I know for me, I have memories of being in the Holocaust. I have memories. I know exactly who my family was in that, the circumstances of that. And that's what got me into the work that I do, mm-hmm. because I remembered it so well. And I think that if we looked at the timeline, many people on the planet today was in that, on the planet during that time. And maybe because of fear and government, you know, control and people eyeing, looking out for themselves and causing other people to lose their life. And, you know, you start asking these questions, where could we go? Where could we go to be safe? Right now, it's a global experience. There isn't anywhere that isn't touched in what's going on in the world today. But maybe in this life, in this lifetime, we can show up stronger. We can take back our power. We can decide who runs the government, because it isn't the government running us. We run the government. We run our communities, because if we choose to have a voice, we can contribute and build upon that rather than letting them control and dictate who we are.
I think that's a great place to take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Vicki Warner, and the book is The Secret to Healing and Recovery. before the break, I think you did a wonderful job of putting a language to how people are feeling but are unable to really, I think, put their hands around it and understand it. And we talked about how people can center themselves, but let's talk about the techniques like EFT. I've heard about it and friends of mine do it and they love it. And I would like to talk about the modalities a little bit more. We know about meditation. I'm curious as to how essential oil therapy helps this process, because I think you have to use all of your senses in order to hone in and distill down to what's important.
Yes. So, tapping or EFT, emotional freedom technique, is such a powerful way to calm the storm within the body. And, you know, it's based upon the energy of acupuncture points and coming back to this language that we're energetic beings. Well, we, in these energetics that would run throughout our body, is what we have meridians, and these meridians work throughout our bodies. And each one of these meridians have what we would call an endpoint. And these endpoints are what acupuncture would hit those points, and it would send a signal to alleviate whatever issue, whether it was a physical or an emotional or even a belief pattern. But during tapping, the purpose of what tapping does is it awakens what is already within us. It brings up what was in the subconscious patterns, and then it sends a signal to the amygdala that it can turn off the alarm. That the amygdala is our fight or flight. It's our stress response. It throws us into that sympathetic response. But in doing tapping, what we're doing is we're calming that storm down and alleviating the pressure so we can see things from a different perspective. And there's an enormous amount of videos that are online that can go into where these tapping points are. And the thing that I want to point out about tapping is it always begins with, even though, and we identify whatever issue that we have that is the most pressing issue that we have. We have to remember that, you know, if we have this language of the law of attraction, we've all heard about The Secret and the law of attraction, and we don't want to bring more of that in. And we think, well, why would I say, even though I'm in a lot of pain and I'm afraid, that already exists. It's already, all we're doing is, I like to look at it, if you need to clean out a storage room, you have to open the door and turn on the lights to even see what's there. And that's what tapping is doing. It's opening the door and turning on the lights. And once we get that a certain level, it's usually rated, it's rated on a level from 0 to 10, 10 being the most intense. And then you do a couple of rounds of tapping points using the tips of your fingers around the face and different various areas of the body. This is calming the system down and releasing that emotional charge or that energetic charge so that you can breathe in new possibilities. And then you end on a lighter point. I love tapping because even so, when I went through my near-death experience and all of the health challenges, one of the things that happened is I became really, really sensitive to my whole gut was just pulverized. And so there was, out of 500 foods that we were tested, there was only 7 foods that I could eat. And that was really challenging emotionally and physically. And anytime there was any kind of social engagement, other people are eating, and I still have a really severe reaction to gluten. And so when people are, you know, I'm at a family gathering and they're having pasta and breadsticks and passing it around me, and my body's having a response because I know what that would do to my body. And so even if I have a smile on my face and pretend to be present, I'm mostly panicking inside of my body. And I can just put my hands underneath the table and using the fleshy side of the pinky on the pinky side of the palm of the hand, and using the tips of the other part of the fingers of the other hand, and just gently tapping on that side and just breathing. And it's not about the words, it's just about tapping on those points and holding that energy. And I could alleviate that panic that was going on in my body so that I could once again be fully present. That's one of the things that I love about tapping, is you can do it anytime. It's free, and it really has had historic really great results. Now, essential oils, I love, but I will say a couple of things that I'd like to do as a caveat. Whenever you get essential oils, if you're buying them at a discount store or a drugstore, you're getting frankincense for like $8 or something like that, you're only going to get a very synthetic or diluted version. And I don't recommend that at all. But if you get a really high quality, pure, organic, high level essential oil, then the possibilities of their healing properties are immense. It is the greatest forms of whether it's the leaves or the bark or the root of these different plants and the constituents of that in its strongest form. So the efficacy is enormous. Now, the reason why I love them is, essential oils can be used through aroma aromatically or topically or internally. There are a few that you shouldn't use internally, but if you have a high quality oil, you can definitely use them internally. And there's so many of them that are anti-tumoral, antibiotic, anti-fungal and antiviral and all of those things. But beyond that, essential oils, for your sensory, the olfactory nerve goes through, and the sense of smell has such profound possibilities for healing. It goes through the blood-brain barrier and goes right to these different sections of the brain, and different oils affect different parts of the brain. And we all know that we could smell something and recognize that if we had a trauma 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you could smell something that would be something that you smelled during that sense, and it would take you back, because trauma is not a linear experience. It exists. It's a time traveler. So essential oils can calm that system down. And, there's some essential oils that are great for relaxation, for calming the nervous system to turn on that parasympathetic state. Mm-hmm. And it's the parasympathetic state that is so crucial for digestion, for regeneration, for healing, for rest. And so there are oils that are very soothing, very calming, but there's also some that are very energizing and uplifting and motivating and help you get more focused and help you get, they support the ability to have more of an alert feeling. And there's some, and essential oils are, there's various ones that are all kinds of emotional support. So there's a great level of research in that. I love essential oils. And I'll say, if you want something that's very calming, mm-hmm. Things that are like cedarwood or lavender or, any of these patchouli, vetiver, myrrh, any of those are kind of things. They're very earthy. They're very grounding. And when we feel dysregulated and we feel stressed about our environment, you can even just use a diffuser and have it going on in the room around you. And it can give that sense of calm. And in the first things in the morning or after a lunch break where we feel heavy and we need to be alert and on our game, use some citrus oils or some rejuvenating oils that just lift us up, inspire us and help us focus. And they're fantastic. I love one oil that I love that is historically known really well is black spruce. It's really great for trauma, for when somebody has PTSD or any kind of trauma, placing these oils, on the brain, back of the brainstem or on the vagus nerve topically, it can help give peace. And I put oils over my heart or over my belly or on the bottom of my feet for immune support. There's so many possibilities. And I love the efficacy. I love the gentleness and the strength in them. And I love that it has such a wide variety of applications.
When you think about what you just said, the color behind all of the things that you just mentioned versus a prescription, just manipulates a pathway. This is actually using what the body's natural pathways completely.
Right. Like,
there's no side effect with this.
Well, I mean, there could technically be if you're using a lot of oils that, anything that's like a spice, like oregano and thyme and The oregano can be quite warm, cinnamon, cassia, those can be quite warm. So you would want to use a carrier oil topically. If you're using a lot to kill, antiviral and antibacterial in the gut, over time you'd want to be gentle to start in. So, it could cause a little bit of a sensation, a heat sensation, or, you don't want to put, I think many people, as they practice, they think, oh, I'll put some peppermint in my bath water. They will only do that once because they realize that doesn't go so good. So yes, there's things to have some cautionary, that responsible behavior. But the whole purpose of the book that I wrote is all about giving you back your power and taking that power back. And we never will know how strong we are until we are confronted with these opportunities for growth. And so I have so many healing techniques that, there's as many healing techniques on this planet as there are people. But I want each individual that has that book in their hands, that it takes them through that journey. It reminds them that they can do this, that healing is not for the weak and passive. Healing is for the empowered. And healing, it's never going to be a linear experience. And when we have any dreams that we are setting ourselves up for, we have desires that we want to make changes. That same thing goes for when we're on this healing journey. There will be setbacks. There will be times we did 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. Mm-hmm. And the emotional reaction to that and the physical reaction and the just potential to just beat ourselves up. And why haven't I healed this already? Why can't I be better than I am? And that just self-deprecation. We have to stop that immediately and catch ourselves before that emotion settles into our body, and then access and utilize these various tools so that we can become empowered again. Nobody is going to heal us. There isn't anybody who is here to heal us. There's some great healers and there's some great practitioners, but their role is not to heal you. Their role is to energetically remind you how to heal yourself, because it was always within you and it was just dormant until you had that opportunity placed in front of you. And it's so empowering to be the person who becomes their own healer. And if you are going to, in a medical model of this Western medicine, the Western medical model is going to be to, they're going to put a Band-Aid over symptoms, but they're never going to look for the root and pull that root out. So, but an Eastern model that's going to use like Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine, these models go to the root and the systemic relationship that we have with our body, and why, having a hip out is this not knowing why this is, that we're like, oh, wait, what's the emotion related to that? Where did this root from? Where did I find this? Where did this begin? And how, once we unveil that just by observation and awareness, we can open the way for it to rebalance on its own, because our bodies, under the right condition, in the right circumstances, and in with the right information, is here to heal itself. God put us on the planet with the ability to heal ourselves, but we have lost our connection to our body. We pulled ourselves away from our body. And when we feel threatened or fearful or in a lot of physical pain, we energetically try to leave our body, because we feel that pressure that we've all just, been ungrounded and we have been disconnected. And whether you're going to disconnect today or next week, it does happen. And so if we ground ourselves and be present in the physical body, we have this awareness and touching our body and saying love to it rather than beating it down every time we walk past a mirror or every time we step into the shower and see it. We can think about a zillion reasons to judge it. But if we can thank God for the body that we have and the opportunity to be here, then we really open the door for wellness to open up.
Well said. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Vicki Werner, the author of The Secret to Healing and Recovery. And people need to go to her website, VickiWerner.com, and it's VickiWerner.com. And you'll see they have a newsletter that you can sign up for. There's more information about essential oils, tapping, and it's a wealth of information. You can also, I believe, get her book there as well. Before the break, you did a wonderful job of explaining how important being centered with God. I think God is the underpinning of everything. And I believe our bodies are self-healing. And the techniques that we've talked about how we get back to our inner self, I agree with you. It takes courage to do that. It's easy to let somebody tell you that there's no fault. You have no power. Therefore, you're not responsible for whatever happens. It happened to you. That's kind of an easy way to look at things, because you just get to sit back and blame people for things that don't go the way you want them to go. And the only way you change things, in my opinion, is to face them, deal with it, find a path that's different, and in a healthy way, positively make that change. And, you know, the body is interesting. The parasympathetic sympathetic system is interesting, and it's about balance, isn't it? So if it's mostly sympathetic, you've got anxiety, you've got disease that crops up, causes inflammation, the whole nine yards. And being able to be more aware, right, gives you the ability to pull yourself back from that. And I just want to, for some people, anxiety to me is one of those things that it seems to be very sympathetic. And doing things like the emotional tapping and other things to balance that, is that something that people who are anxious or feel that they don't have power in any kind of way, being able to tap into that, does that change that mindset or that paradigm with those folks?
Right. Yes. Well, it takes, you know, it's peeling back the onion. And on my website is a script and a tapping. There's image of how to do a tapping technique for mm-hmm. anxiety. I have anxiety on there because that's a really prevalent thing that we can look at. Now, this stress response is really interesting. And I want to back up a little bit and talk about the healing paradigm and how culturally there were times when, you know, we had this language of, you know, you go to a medical doctor and say somebody's diagnosed with a dis-ease, an imbalance. And they would say, well, it's not your fault. It's genetics. So it's not your fault. It's your parents' fault. And you were born with this and there's nothing you can do with it. And then this language shifted to when somebody diagnosed with cancer, and as an example, and they get attacked. Well, if you wouldn't have had the thoughts that you had and you wouldn't have the behaviors that you had, then you wouldn't have done this. You created your disease. You did it to yourself. And that shame storm is immense. And both levels of that, both sides of that spectrum are unhealthy. And so maybe our emotional state didn't create disease, but it contributes. And we have to now, the language now is epigenetics, and that means the environment. So our environment, and so on an external standpoint, our environment creates disease. Sure, that contributes. If we have toxic food, we have toxic air that we're breathing, we have the, you know, this EMS that are constantly coming at us, there's toxic relationships, all of those kind of things can be very toxic on the body and contribute from chemicals that we're putting on our skin and on our food, and that are all contributing to the breakdown. But epigenetics also applies to the inside of the inner body, to our inner environment and around the cells. And that comes with the language that we say to ourselves, that internal dialogue, the thoughts that we have, our emotional state. And unfortunately, on average, the average individual is in a stress response approximately 7 to 9 hours a day. And that begins within, the average person will begin within the first 6 minutes of waking up. Now, when you wake up and when you go to sleep are two bridges of the consciousness. It's when you enter that subconscious mind into that conscious mind, or, you know, and it's what that really is you move from that deep delta and these deep sleep state into a full beta state, they're full awake as far as our brainwave state. But we enter this state before most people are out of bed. They turn and they pick up their cell phone. They start looking at social media. They're making judgments about people's pictures. They feel recognized that they weren't invited to a party that somebody posted the night before. And they enter this false sense of urgency when they see all the text messages coming in and all of the emails coming in. And our bodies become very dysregulated very quickly, and we become very scattered and in a very dysregulated state, which in this dysregulated state, we have to look at our genes as they're not any of our genes that are good or bad. They just turn on or turn off based upon the environment around us. We can either turn them on for restoration and health and abundance and our immune system, or we can also dysregulate them and turn them off. And so what we have to do is not only be owners of our contribution to our planet and to our community, but also be owners of our contribution to self. And that comes from loving ourselves more, taking ownership of the thoughts that we have. We hear the language misery loves comfort company. And when we fall in that self-deprecation, that lower state of I'll never be good enough and nobody ever loves me and I'm never going to be worthy. And we start really romancing a life we don't even want for ourselves because we become so heavy and dense. And it's so valuable today and from this minute forward to take ownership of how you're contributing and catch it at the gate. Those thoughts run all day, every day. And 80% of the thoughts that we had yesterday, we're having today and we'll have again tomorrow. And we have to catch that. So although this is a very challenging time, and if we look at the macrocosm and the microcosm of going within, we're sent home, we're set social distancing and all of that language. On the microcosm, we're going within. We're doing our own individual work. We're separating ourselves so that we can become whole within, so that we can re-emerge with a higher vibration, a higher light, a higher purpose. And it takes now to do your work. And when we go through some level of trauma and we do our work, we do our emotional work, we heal those relationships, we forgive people from our past, we forgive ourselves, we take active steps in being a better version of ourselves, we're really going to love the people that we become. Other people are going to love to be around us more. And what better thing that we can do is contribute to love to self. And to really learn to like that person that you are, it is going to be a really fun journey that I think many of us are ready to take.
Oh my gosh, I hate to end the show, but I love to end it on that note because it was empowering and it gives people a mission, and it's time that people do exactly what you just described. That's how we get our world, our humanity, and our lives back. On the seconds that we have left, how can people find your book and go to your website and join up for the newsletter?
Sure. Yeah. Go to VickiWerner.com. So it's VickiWerner.com. And you can, I do past life regressions through Zoom. And so that's a possibility. You can sign up for those kind of experiences. They're fascinating. Amazon, my book's on Amazon or through our office, Health and Longevity, which that information is on the website as well. And I love the journey that my book offers for other people, but it also has a section for caregivers. And whether you're a caregiver as a parent caring for children, or as a child taking care of your parents, or being a caregiver for humanity, or somebody who's in a health crisis, there's some really great support tools for that as well. And right now we're all being caregivers for humanity. We are all going to be stepping into that as people start to wake up. And as people start to recognize the bigger truth, and we're all going to have to hold that energy in a higher level. So I love that that's available for people.
Well, I'd love to have you come back to speak about that, because that's a huge part of what's going on. People caring for, like you just said, the parents, their children. And I believe it's going to be more poignant as time goes on. So I'd love it if you can come back to discuss that.
Absolutely. I would love to. I'd be honored.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.